The murders of Herrhausen and Rohwedder have given those political trends in Germany a boost which stand for an economic going for broke policy patterned after the worst free trade doctrine. Now, after the first strike waves in 60 years had hit the new German states, some begin to realize the extent and devastating effects of the economic ruination policy. Now Germany has close to 4 million unemployed, 400,000 of them youths. The Economic Research Institute prognos expect unemployment to rise 17%, around 7.5 million. The outbreaks of violence, especially aimed at foreigners, but also against the handicapped and the homeless, that in 1992 had caused the deaths of 17 people, 7 of which were foreigners, are seen by the press that had talked about the threat of Fourth Reich before as confirmation for their thesis of a flare-up of neo-Nazism. The federal government had tried to correct this distorted image with differentiated reports. Since autumn 1992, more than 3 million Germans and foreigners have taken to the streets to demonstrate with lit candles for solidarity against xenophobia. Collaboration with Russia, France and Germany. If one country can influence the events in Eastern Europe, then that country is Germany. Under these political guidelines, all efforts contravening this plan, for example the German economic development endeavors towards the East, have to be thwarted at all cost. The vulnerability and weakness of Chancellor Kohl and his government could not have been better demonstrated before the world than by the fact that in the same month the wall came down. Dr. Alfred Herrhausen, Speaker of the Board of the Deutsche Bank, fell victim to a terrorist attack whose instigators and executors remain unknown until today and can walk free without fear of prosecution. Strategically farsighted, Alfred Herrhausen had proposed for quite some time a remission of debt for developing countries, especially in the year of the crash of 1987. But in the eyes of his enemies, his proposals were absolutely unbearable, since besides the remission, he now also asked for an economic development plan for Eastern Europe. Herrhausen spoke of a Polish development bank modeled after the Credit Bank for Reconstruction. Here Herrhausen contravened, not just in the eyes of Colonel Putti, the unwritten laws by the Londoner and New Yorker monetary power groups, and so got caught in the terrorist net of his enemies. At the significant moment of the collapse of the communist system in the East, Chancellor Kohl failed to instigate a global change of direction towards a real rebuilding plan for the East. This would have necessitated a bread with the predominant financial circles at home and abroad, and would have fundamentally influenced the traditional power structures of the old victorious powers. According to Der Spiegel, Chancellor Kohl said after the murder of Herrhausen that he had lost a strategically thinking close advisor and that now petty minds dominated in most of Germany. Following this terrible deed, Kohl and his government did not dare to expose the reasons for the crime to the public and to motivate police and investigators in such a way that the murderers and the men behind would be caught, their motives established and their deed atoned. Instead, the public was told something about a third Rough generation, supported in part with false testimony. 4 years after the assassination of Herrhausen, the void he left is very apparent. Entrepreneurs and leaders in economy, science and research avow that, even if the need for a large development plan in the production triangle of Paris, Berlin, Vienna, with extensive infrastructural measures in the energy, traffic and water supply sectors is recognized as the motor of a Eurasian upswing, no one would now, after the killing of Herrhausen, risk his or her head for programs which are recognized as being correct, with which run counter to the predominant monetary power ideology. The murders of Herrhausen and Rohwedder have given those political trends in Germany a boost which stand for an economic going for broke policy patterned after the worst free trade doctrine. Now, after the first strike waves in 60 years had hit the new German states, some begin to realize the extent and devastating effects of the economic ruination policy. Now Germany has close to 4 million unemployed, 400,000 of them youths. The Economic Research Institute prognos expect unemployment to rise 17%, around 7.5 million. the outbreaks of violence, especially aimed at foreigners, but also against the handicapped and the homeless, that in 1992 had caused the deaths of 17 people, seven of which were foreigners, are seen by the press that had talked about the threat of Fourth Reich before as confirmation for their thesis of a flare-up of neo-Nazism. The federal government had tried to correct this distorted image with differentiated reports. Since autumn 1992, more than 3 million Germans and foreigners have taken to the streets to demonstrate with lit candles for solidarity against xenophobia. 151. Who are the guts? More than 70% of the accused are under 20. They had grown up in the West in the time after the educational reform by Willy Brandt, raised by parents who themselves had still felt the effects of the teachings by the Frankfurter Schule in school, on the radio or in television. The largest number of the crimes considered right extremist were committed in North Rhine-Westphalia, the most populated state, more than 500, followed by Baden-Württemberg, more than 250, and Brandenburg, 229. The distorted picture that was propagandistically disseminated at home and abroad shows the geopolitical intention, the weakening of rebuilding impulses towards the East, as well as pure hypocrisy. With the aid of official documents and topical interviews with leading American neo-Nazis and KKK members, it is possible to trace back how for many years, in fact since the 70s, Germany had been a very busy playground for these racists and skinheads from America. It is shocking to note that the activities of the NSDAP, AU, Neo-Socialist German Workers' Party, Exterior and Planning Organization, of the American Gary Rexlock and his German cronies, Michael Cunin, who died of AIDS, was a close party supporter of Locke, can until today work across the ocean unhindered by American authorities or custom and frontier controls, despite ever more signs are surfacing pointing to some Secret Service helping hand in establishing the violent neo-Nazi scene in Germany and in the US. This development and its counterpart, the Antifa, potential der Orte Kommen, potential of the autonomous, were instruments of the strategy of tensions against Germany's inner and outer peace. The VVN, Verena Gung Deva, Erfolgten des Nazis Ira Gimes, Association of those persecuted by the Nazi regime, that had been directly financed by the Stasi in the old GDR, now works directly with the BDA, Bund der Antifaschisten, Alliance of Anti-Fascists, and set themselves up as spearheading the anti-fascist fight. As you can see, the Illuminati here again have financed both sides, in the best Machiavellian manner, and so control them both. On the one side, the chain leads from the Scottish Rite of Masonry, Mossad, KKK, B'nai B'rit, Anti-Defamation League, ADL, NSDAP, AU, to the German neo-Nazi and skinhead scene, and on the other side the Stasi network controlled by the communist system that extends into Antifa and left extremist scenes. The Gesinnungsgemeinschaft der Neuen Front, GDNF's interest group of the New Front, founded by Cunin in 1977 with its 400-odd members, is one of the most important groups of specialists who is closely linked to the NSDAP, AU. A large portion of the propaganda material of the FAP, Freie Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, Free German Workers' Party, recently banned, came from the NSDAP, AU. There are more interesting links to be uncovered. The leader of the English skin rock band Screwdriver, Ian Stewart, for instance, works with the British National Front. Until 1985 they belonged to the White Noise Club of the British National Front, in which racist English skinhead bands grouped themselves. In 1985 Ian Stewart founded the Blood and Honor movement, through which they disseminated the white power idea of the Ku Klux Klan. But not only skin rock bands formed part of that group of specialists. The satanic band GIS, Kings in Satan's Service, who openly professed to Satanism and who wrote the double S in the shape of the SS runes until they were prohibited to do so, is in direct contact with Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, the biggest official satanic church in the world. The Church of Satan had in the past built very close relationships with English and American satanic rock groups. The British group Black Sabbath, with the singer Ozzy Osbourne for instance, had been supported by them. The Rolling Stones, too, had close links with the Church of Satan. The neo-Nazi and Satanist Michael Aquino is the leader of the Satanist sect Temple of Seth that came out of the Church of Satan. In the West, in the time after the educational reform by Willy Brandt, raised by parents who themselves had still felt the effects of the teachings by the Frankfurter Schule in school, on the radio or in television. The largest number of the crimes considered right extremist were committed in North Rhine-Westphalia, the most populated state, more than 500, followed by Baden-Württemberg, more than 250, and Brandenburg, 229. The distorted picture that was propagandistically disseminated at home and abroad shows the geopolitical intention, the weakening of rebuilding impulses towards the East, as well as pure hypocrisy. With the aid of official documents and topical interviews with leading American neo-Nazis and KKK members, it is possible to trace back how for many years, in fact since the 70s, Germany had been a very busy playground for these racists and skinheads from America. It is shocking to note that the activities of the NSDAP, AU, Neo-Socialist German Workers' Party, Exterior and Planning Organization, of the American Gary Rexlock and his German cronies, Michael Cunin, who died of AIDS, was a close party supporter of Locke, can until today work across the ocean unhindered by American authorities or custom and frontier controls, despite ever more signs are surfacing pointing to some Secret Service helping hand in establishing the violent neo-Nazi scene in Germany and in the US. This development and its counterpart, the Antifa, potential der Autokommen, potential of the autonomous, were instruments of the strategy of tensions against Germany's inner and outer peace. The VVN, Vereinigung der Verfolgten des Nazi Regimes, Association of those persecuted by the Nazi regime, that had been directly financed by the Stasi and the old GDR, now works directly with the BDA, Bund der Antifaschisten, Alliance of Anti-Fascists, and set themselves up as spearheading the anti-fascist fight. As you can see, the Illuminati here again have financed both sides, in the best Machiavellian manner, and so control them both. On the one side, the chain leads from the Scottish Rite of Masonry, Mossad, KKK, B'nai B'rith, Anti-Defamation League, ADL, NSDAP, AU, to the German neo-Nazi and skinhead scene, and on the other side the Stasi network controlled by the communist system that extends into Antifa and left extremist scenes. The Gesinnungsgemeinschaft der Neuen Front, GDNF's interest group of the New Front, founded by Cunin in 1977 with its 400-odd members, is one of the most important groups of specialists who is closely linked to the NSDAP, AU. A large portion of the propaganda material of the FAP, Freie Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, Free German Workers' Party, recently banned, came from the NSDAP, AU. There are more interesting links to be uncovered. The leader of the English skin rock band Screwdriver, Ian Stewart, for instance, works with the British National Front. Until 1985 they belonged to the White Noise Club of the British National Front, in which racist English skinhead bands grouped themselves. In 1985 Ian Stewart founded the Blood and Honor movement, through which they disseminated the white power idea of the Ku Klux Klan. But not only skin rock bands formed part of that group of specialists. The satanic band GIS, Kings in Satan's Service, who openly professed to Satanism and who wrote the double S in the shape of the SS runes until they were prohibited to do so, is in direct contact with Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, the biggest official satanic church in the world. The Church of Satan had in the past built very close relationships with English and American satanic rock groups. The British group Black Sabbath, with the singer Ozzy Osbourne for instance, had been supported by them. The Rolling Stones, too, had close links with the Church of Satan. The neo-Nazi and Satanist Michael Aquino is the leader of the Satanist sect Temple of Seth that came out of the Church of Satan. 152. In the 60s and 70s he had been officer of psychological warfare in the U.S. Armed Forces, also author, philosopher and historian for the Church of Satan. In 1981 Lieutenant Colonel Aquino was European advisor on the American General Staff. The same Aquino held a satanic ceremony on Alsberg Castle in Germany, where SS leader Heinrich Himmler had a room installed for black masses. In order to perform his present function as Satanist and right-wing radical within the U.S. Army he had to form a better controlled group that went further than the Church of Satan, the Temple of Seth. Aquino, who is also involved with sexual and satanic child abuse, the neo-Nazi Gary Raxlock and the right-wing radical Anton Zander LaVey as well as Michael Cumin are closely linked with the present Grand Dragon of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, Dennis Martin. All those mentioned are also homosexuals, by the way. And via Aquino they all are linked to the already mentioned Tavistock Institute for Psychological Warfare in Sussex, England. Montague Norman, head of the Bank of England from 1920 to 1944, who had supported the rise of Jamal Schacht and thereby of Hitler, was, according to his own statements, also Hitler's best friend. Norman was also a wild mystic, a theosophist and often prone to frequent psychotic attacks. Towards the end of the war Norman withdrew from the Bank of England and devoted his time to working for the World Association Against Mental Illness. He appointed Brigadier John Rawlings Rees as president of the association. Norman's wife was a fanatical racist and sat on the British Health Board. Brigadier Rees, head of the Department of Psychological Warfare in the British Army, was the head of the Tavistock Institute in England. It was thanks to this kind of supporters that the nightmare of the Nazi study of race and their worldview could survive in the West. Many Serbian commanders who these days order ethnic cleansing and mass rape in Bosnia-Herzegovina have psychiatric training from the Tavistock Institute, among others. Forces, also author, philosopher and historian for the Church of Satan. In 1981 Lieutenant Colonel Aquino was European advisor on the American General Staff. The same Aquino held a satanic ceremony on Alsberg Castle in Germany, where SS leader Heinrich Himmler had a room installed for black masses. In order to perform his present function as Satanist and right-wing radical within the U.S. Army he had to form a better controlled group that went further than the Church of Satan, the Temple of Seth. Aquino, who is also involved with sexual and satanic child abuse, the neo-Nazi Gary Raxlock and the right-wing radical Anton Zander LaVey as well as Michael Cumin are closely linked with the present Grand Dragon of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, Dennis Martin. All those mentioned are also homosexuals, by the way. And via Aquino they all are linked to the already mentioned Tavistock Institute for Psychological Warfare in Sussex, England. Montague Norman, head of the Bank of England from 1920 to 1944, who had supported the rise of Jamal Schacht and thereby of Hitler, was, according to his own statements, also Hitler's best friend. Norman was also a wild mystic, a theosophist and often prone to frequent psychotic attacks. Towards the end of the war Norman withdrew from the Bank of England and devoted his time to working for the World Association Against Mental Illness. It isn't a pretty picture, is it? How many people do you know who can name all those nice rock bands and heavy metal personalities? I know quite a few that you know very well. Why do you think the concerts and sports events pack in the crowds of outrageous size and hyperactive individuals having a little snort or puff or whatever else is handy to enjoy whatever event is being played out before their eyes, ears and brains? Your own children, perchance? How about some of our old partners in our own project? Satan always finds a way to trap the unsuspecting. One deviation of lifestyle from the considered normal and you've been captured, for you, in defending self, have a real ego surge. We are making great headway, students, so don't chomp too heavily on the bits or the harness. Chapter 54. What about the Serbs? The developments around the campaign of conquest the Serbs started in 1991 would not have been possible without the backing of Moscow and by the Bush administration. The U.S. Deputy Secretary of State at the time, Lawrence Eagleburger, a prominent partner in the consultant firm Kissinger Associates, together with another Kiss-ass partner, Lord Garrington, saw to it that Belgrade got a free hand for ethnic cleansing and genocide. At the same time, mechanisms for massive illegal money transfers to Belgrade were set up to finance this campaign and to pay for the import of arms, oil and other goods. In the last 2 years, private banks in Belgrade surprised with interest offers of 15% per month for foreign currency and of 200% for dinar deposits, in view of a yearly inflation of 153.2000%. Considering the massive unemployment and the large number of people without income, this interest offer looked like a political trick to counteract the growing discontent in the populace about the economic hardships the war brought them. An observer said, "Somebody is financing a covert welfare system." Some aspects of these practices came to light when in March 1993 the Belgrade banker Justomir Vasiljevic, the head of the Jugoskandic Bank, cleared off to Israel. The press disclosed that this bank had almost 4 million accounts with deposits of almost $2 billion. Where did these sums come from? Do we really need to ask? Before the war, Yugoslavia had had a flourishing tourist trade and an armaments industry manufacturing mainly light arms for export, but after the repayment of $14 billion in foreign debt there was not much left over. Tourism has since foundered and the arms production is used in the war. The Serbian government also profits from the spoils from the conquered areas, but this, too, is little compared to the actual need. Russian oil and arms are delivered only against cash. Western oil, for example from the Mobil oil refinery at Thessaloniki in Greece, centers the country at black market prices that can be 400% above the market value. With its role in the drug trade via the Balkan route, Belgrade had got access to the offshore money laundering system, and this is where the source of the funds is to be found. The growing activities by the Serbian mafia steered from Belgrade in Western Europe is surely another one. In Belgrade there is a school for burglary which obviously is protected by the secret services and whose graduates are posted all over Europe, where they hand the stolen goods to a well-organized network of receivers. Yet it is difficult to imagine that this money source should suffice to meet the Serbian war bill, even considering the growing importance of the Serbian mafia on the Western European drug market. Clueless commentators had repeatedly compared the practices by the Jugoskandic and its most important competitor, the Defunct Bank, to the usual investment swindlers who promise regular high-interest payments on real estate and other investments to pull the money out of the people's pocket. But reality is different. It is not small Serbia that is getting the funds out of the big shots on the international hot money markets. The same powers that gave the green light for the war also arranged the financing. Serbia is not organizing this flow of funds, it is its beneficiary. There are arrangements where local banks in Belgrade or offshore channels have been used, for a fee, to launder on a monthly basis part of the cash income from the international drug trade. Belgrade's profits were not bad at all. Standard interest for laundering is between 3% and 7%. But in view of the enormous sums made in the worldwide drug trade, dealers can pay up to 30% without smarting. Israel Gelman from Tel Aviv holds 25% of the stock of Dafina Milanovic's Defunct Bank in Belgrade. The fact that Vasiljevic of the Jugoskandic cleared off to Israel points to his key role in the war financing technique inspired by Anglo-American interests. In a similar way, the U.S. banks had saved themselves from bankruptcy by a massive infusion of drug money in the 1982 Latin American debt crisis. This has little to do with a free market economy. According to German police sources, it was learned, while investigating the Serbian mafioso in Germany, that Belgrade did not offer any international police cooperation and therefore is probably an easier place to launder money than Switzerland. Cyprus, a well-developed offshore banking center, is the most important operating base for the bankers of Belgrade. The obviously successful financing of the war that was effected by financial interests behind Eagleburger and Carrington, Committee of 300, is not due to excessive secrecy, but to inactivity by the West. After observing the activities of the Belgrade banks for 18 months, everyone including the diplomats there knew that something was amiss. It was known the banks were represented on Cyprus. Nothing was done, although the UN income, this interest offer looked like a political trick to counteract the growing discontent in the populace about the economic hardships the war brought them. An observer said, "Somebody is financing a covert welfare system." Some aspects of these practices came to light when in March 1993 the Belgrade banker Justomir Vasiljevic, the head of the Jugoskandic Bank, cleared off to Israel. The press disclosed that this bank had almost 4 million accounts with deposits of almost $2 billion. Where did these sums come from? Do we really need to ask? Before the war, Yugoslavia had had a flourishing tourist trade and an armaments industry manufacturing mainly light arms for export, but after the repayment of $14 billion in foreign debt there was not much left over. Tourism has since foundered and the arms production is used in the war. The Serbian government also profits from the spoils from the conquered areas, but this, too, is little compared to the actual need. Russian oil and arms are delivered only against cash. Western oil, for example from the Mobil oil refinery at Thessaloniki in Greece, centers the country at black market prices that can be 400% above the market value. With its role in the drug trade via the Balkan route, Belgrade had got access to the offshore money laundering system, and this is where the source of the funds is to be found. The growing activities by the Serbian mafia steered from Belgrade in Western Europe is surely another one. In Belgrade there is a school for burglary which obviously is protected by the secret services and whose graduates are posted all over Europe where they hand the stolen goods to a well-organized network of receivers. Yet it is difficult to imagine that this money source should suffice to meet the Serbian war bill, even considering the growing importance of the Serbian mafia on the Western European drug market. Clueless commentators had repeatedly compared the practices by the Jugoskandic and its most important competitor, the Defunct Bank, to the usual investment swindlers who promise regular high-interest payments on real estate and other investments to pull the money out. The fact that Vasiljevic of the Jugoskandic cleared off to Israel points to his key role in the war financing technique inspired by Anglo-American interests. In a similar way, the U.S. banks had saved themselves from bankruptcy by a massive infusion of drug money in the 1982 Latin American debt crisis. This has little to do with a free market economy. According to German police sources, it was learned, while investigating the Serbian mafioso in Germany, that Belgrade did not offer any international police cooperation and therefore is probably an easier place to launder money than Switzerland. Cyprus, a well-developed offshore banking center, is the most important operating base for the bankers of Belgrade. The obviously successful financing of the war that was effected by financial interests behind Eagleburger and Carrington, Committee of 300, is not due to excessive secrecy, but to inactivity by the West. After observing the activities of the Belgrade banks for 18 months, everyone including the diplomats there knew that something was amiss. It was known the banks were represented on Cyprus. Nothing was done, although the UN 154 sanctions also included full transfers to Serbia with the exception of funds for medical and other humanitarian purposes. Only in April of 1993, it was admitted by the UN Sanctions Committee that one had neglected to consult the Cypriot administration about the Serbian banking connections. There had been too little concrete information. The banker Vasiljevic had spent 15 to 20 years abroad, predominantly in Australia and was well known for his dealing in the war zones of the Far East, as the British Observer put it, and other humanitarian purposes. Only in April of 1993, it was admitted by the UN Sanctions Committee that one had neglected to consult the Cypriot administration about the Serbian banking connections. There had been too little concrete information.